Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday to you, and already it's almost the end of January. Can't believe it. We were just saying Happy New Year a couple of weeks ago, but I'm so glad to be on this broadcast with you. And today we are still working on the book, What's Possible? 50 true stories of people who dare to dream they could make a difference. And I know that there are many of you out there under the sound of my voice who is doing the very same thing. And yet there aren't any books that's written about you yet, but I want to encourage you to call into 646-915-8166 and share your story live on the airwaves. Share those things that you are taking courage in doing. So again, as I just mentioned, the chat room is up. I encourage you to call in and be part of the conversation. And I know that there's a lot of people who are listening online who is not in the chat room. I want to welcome each and every one of you as well. I thank you for the messages on Facebook. I thank you for the emails and the telephone calls. I ask that you continue to keep us in your prayers as God continue to move through us and with us, among us, just to do some amazing things. I want to say a big thank you to the Apostle Dr. Gary Jenkins and his beautiful wife, Pastor Marcella Jenkins, over in the Woodbridge area in Connecticut. I was privileged today to go over there to worship with them and also to be their special guest on the Gospel America Network. So for those of you who watch that online, wherever you are over the world, you'll be able to see that conversation with Dr. Jenkins and myself today. It was such a warm, beautiful atmosphere to be in. The Holy Spirit was just moving there. It's so much anointing in that place, especially in the children. I was so touched to see kids going up to get hands laid on them and to see the kids helps to officiate in the service. It was just so amazing. So it was indeed a blessing for me to be there. Well, before I get into the the book. This evening we are already at chapter 4, and we are going to start with Sibri Omar story. But before I do that, I want to do some housekeeping. I want to remind you that tomorrow, Monday, is when I broadcast simultaneously with my co-host, Building Your Extraordinary Business. And on Mondays, as you know, we feature different speakers from the Vision Weekend Conference platform. The Vision Weekend Conference is taking place March the 23rd through the 26th at the prestigious Broadway Millennium Hotel. And tomorrow, our honored guest will be joining us all the way from Hawaii. Our guest tomorrow will be transformational coach and teacher and mentor, Mr. Brian D. Ridgway. So come with your pads and pen and listen to this phenomenal story that this gentleman has, where from homeless to Hawaii in 90 days. And he was just utilizing the powers that God put inside of him that helps him to do what he's doing. So join us tomorrow evening. Join right here on this network. And if you want to call in live, you'll call 347-202-0754. And you'll go right into the Building Your Extraordinary Business. You will get into their studio. However, it's being broadcast on both of the stations at the same time. So far, we have been having good feedback and responses on the Monday shows. I'm having so much fun. Who knows? I'll probably continue airing on Mondays too after the conference. But we want to encourage you to sign up, be part of the conference, sign up, become an affiliate, because you can actually work their program, the affiliate program, to clear your expenses for the Vision Weekend Conference. So again, to call in here is 646-915-8166. And today, the first segment of this show is brought to you by our sponsors at
SuperFastLinkBuilding.com. The biggest challenge for business owners and entrepreneurs like you is getting your site to show up on the first page of a Google search. It's been reported that Google often changes their search reporting methods multiple times in the same day. That's why you can't use just any search optimization company. The SEO company that you choose has to think fast and move even faster. At SuperFastLinkBuilding.com, we've designed and developed a unique system to start positioning your site closer to the top. Our complex system of websites and blogs, along with our proprietary algorithms, are pushing our clients' sites to page one every day. Your site will never rise on its own. You've got to do something about it. Subscribe today. SuperFastLinkBuilding.com.
That's right. It's all about the speed, so check them out. Check out our sponsors and give them some support. Well, let us begin. Giving back, ordinary people, extraordinary humanitarians. And this is what chapter 4 in this book is dealing with. Giving back, ordinary people, extraordinary humanitarians. A hospital for horror. Sibri Omar, Egyptian immigrant, gas station worker, and hospital founder. I have learned many things since I came to the United States 25 years ago. I know you don't have to wait until you're a billionaire to get things done and make a difference in the world. Thinking you have no money is no excuse. I am living proof. I managed to build a hospital back in my country. I was forced to flee as a teenager. I was born 47 years ago in the war-torn city of Hara, Ethiopia. By the time I was 17, it was clear to my parents that it was far too dangerous for a young man to stay in Ethiopia. The government was targeting young people, believing they were part of an overthrown movement. To stay would mean certain death. Even though I had never traveled anywhere else and knew not a soul in the world outside of my hometown, I fled on foot, walking across Ethiopia to the neighboring country of Djibouti. It took 7 weeks to get there, only to find more challenges. There wasn't much food. Some days I only drank water. There were many refugees trying to figure out what their next step would be. After 2 years in Djibouti, my luck turned around thanks to a program run by the United Nations. The UN was assigning refugees different countries that were willing to take them in. I could have landed in any number of places in the world. Somehow I was sent to what I believe is the greatest country in the world, the United. I arrived in Philadelphia and immediately enrolled in high school. I wanted to make up for the time I had lost in my education. I completed high school in 2 years and went on to study marketing in college. This country amazes me. If you want to go to school, there are schools. You want to work hard, there are jobs. I've sometimes worked 3 jobs at a time simply because the opportunity was there. My American dream led me to Georgia. I married, started my family, and my own business, eventually buying 2 gas stations, convenience stores, and a car wash. This didn't happen overnight, of course. But before I knew it, 20 years had passed since I had left Ethiopia. About this time, things had calmed down. Some of the areas around my hometown in Hara, in fact, a new government was in charge and encouraging immigrants to come back and visit and perhaps invest in a growing economy. I thought this was a wonderful opportunity to go home, see family, and perhaps invest in a business such as building a hotel. My plans changed as soon as I arrived in Hara. I received word that a dear relative was in the hospital, so I went to visit him. I was shocked by what I saw. There were more than 20 patients in a single room, each with different illnesses. Tiles were hanging from the ceiling, ready to fall on the patients. The sheets were dirty. The needles were rusty. It was nothing like the conditions I have come to expect in America, in American hospitals. There were, their sheets are changed. The floors are spotless. The water is clean. And there is modern medical equipment. Right there, visiting my relative, the inspiration came to me. Forget the hotel. I would build a hospital in my hometown. It might have only two or three beds, but it would be clean, and it would have trained staff and the best equipment available. Too many people, this might have seemed, to many people, this might have seemed like a unrealistic dream. There is no such facility in all of Ethiopia. As far as money, all my savings were invested in my businesses back in America, but I didn't waste my time getting started. I contacted government officials who very much liked my idea. In fact, they gave me a 60-acre plot of land, a cluster of buildings that were in good location, but had been bombed out and abandoned during the war. Still, there was a challenge in finding funds to rebuild those buildings. I was able to get one loan from an Ethiopian bank, and then came time to do my part. When I returned to America, I sat down with my family and presented my plan to sell half of our business. I did the math and showed them we could survive fine with just one station, I explained. We can still eat and we can still drive. But what about the people back in Ethiopia? My family was very supportive and agreed. So we sold the second station and a car wash. The 40,000 profit was the final piece I needed. In 2001, the Image Medical Center opened. It had 25 beds to start. We are now up to 45 beds. We do in and outpatient care. Thanks to the recent donation, we now have the only working ambulance in all of Ethiopia. We do surgery, obstetric and gynecology. We have an X-ray machine, and we also have an in-house pharmacy. Many of the supplies have come from a wonderful organization, MedShare International. We have a full-time staff running the hospital, including a doctor and a nurse. I visit twice a year to make sure everything is running up to standard. These visits are so joyful for me. I watch people who are extremely sick getting the help they need, then walk out of the hospital. That experience is unbelievable. Enjoyment that you cannot buy. It seemed natural to call the hospital Image. That happens to be my son's name. It also means hope in my native language. We are hoping the facility will bring hope to the citizens of Hara for many years to come. As for my own hopes, I've already set my next dream in motion. I want to build an HIV hospice next, right to the medical center. AIDS has been a terrible problem in Ethiopia. There isn't a single in the country. I dream of 175 bed center with AIDS patients can find kind and proper care and to support their families. I already have the land and the site plans for the hospice. Now comes the matter of raising the funds. I'm told it will take more than $100,000 to build the kind of facility I believe the hospital of Haran needs. I have no more gas station or car wash I can sell off to finance this part. So to some people, it might appear that I am stuck. Well, some people try to tell me build the hospital was too big of a dream. But if you concentrate and focus on anything possible, and I have formed a nonprofit organization to raise the funds. Because of my success, I encourage others to make a difference in the world as well. You can wait to be a billionaire to build a 2,000 hospital, or you can build a one-bed hospital with only a few thousand dollars and do it now. The point is to help people. As for the sacrifice I made in selling half the business I worked so hard to build, I don't miss them one bit. Sure, they could today be bringing me money, American dollars, but that money couldn't bring me 1 ounce of joy I get by helping healing my African hometown. What an amazing story. You can learn more about the hospital by visiting YEMAGEMedicalCenter.com. And here is Darian's takeaway from this phenomenal story. I love how Sibri lives in the world of opportunity. He saw an opportunity to work hard and build a business when he came to the United States, and he saw an opportunity to give back long before most people would think they were also going to do the same. Sure, he made a big sacrifice in selling half of his business to finance the hospital in Ethiopia. Even if we were not ready to take that kind of a step, we can all learn from Sibri's spirit by doing what we can right now with whatever little we have. What dreams of making a difference in the world are you putting off because you don't think you have enough money? If you lower the scale of what you wish to create, what would that do right now? What amazing story. What an amazing, amazing story. Each and every one of us can do so much more. I want to take this time and I want to send thanks out to Keisha Stuckey for inviting me up to Cromwell to be on her show, Keisha's World. I am so thankful. I've really been connecting with some amazing people on Facebook and other social media. And she is doing a phenomenal job up there. And I look forward to having her on the show here in the near future. So thanks again, Keisha, for having me. And I'm looking forward to be engaged into dialogue with you again. You can please call in 646-915-8166 if you are looking to share your story. How are you making a difference? What's going on in your world that you need to share with others to get them motivated to go out and do something? Let us hear from you. 646-915-8166. The next story, the title is Fulfilling Children's Dreams. Henry Lanrick, Holocaust survivor and founder of Give Kids the World. I wear the number B4343, tattooed on the inside of my left forearm, is a reminder of how the Nazis stole my family and my children more than 67 years later. I have proposed in this great country, America. I use my good fortune to create a happy place for sick children, who also are at risk of losing the carefree days of their childhood. I believe I am living on borrowed time. There is no explanation of how I survived 5 years in Nazi death camps, but I can explain how close to abandon hate and why I vowed to make the most of the moment on each day. In 1939, I was 13 years old, living in Krakow, Poland, with my parents and my twin sister, Margot. When the Nazi came for us, we were like so many Jewish families. We were like so many Jewish families who didn't see the extreme danger coming. Actually, my father feared the Nazi, but my mother wanted to stay in Poland and was convinced that it was safe to do so. We all learned a very difficult reality when the Nazi came and took my father away later that year. They put him in prison without a trial. I later learned he was massacred with several other men from outside the prison. Each man was shot in the back of the head with rifle. Their bodies were dumped in an unmarked mass grave. My mother, sister, and I were forced to go to a series of concentration camps, like many families were separated. The next 4 years were blurry and horrendous conditions, difficult camps, different camps, and hunger and suffering beyond working. Yet, somehow I survived. As the war came to a close, an incident happened that I thought surely was the end of my young life. A group of Nazi soldiers marched four other prisoners and me into the woods to shoot us. For some reason, they had a change of heart. Instead of aiming the guns at us, they shoot into the air and allow us to flee. I made my way through a series of relocation centers in Poland and Germany and learned my mother was killed just weeks before the war ended. I was devastated, and all the more I determined to find my sister. Somehow I made it to a small town in the middle of Germany where I had heard some young woman survivors were staying. That's where I experienced the miracle of being reunited with Margot. That day remains one of the happiest ever in my life. We both made it to the United States, and I began to make the most of my borrowed time. As I see it, I was as good as dead that day in the woods with more Nazi soldiers. Every day since is a bonus. No matter how long after I arrive in the United States, with only $20 in my pocket, I receive a letter from the president. I thought it was a welcome letter. It turned out to be a draft notice. This was incredible, since I couldn't even speak English yet. Still, I went and filled my military service. When I completed my service, I was able to go to college on the GI Bill, and I chose to study hotel management. I started from the bottom up at a couple of hotels in New York City. Then in 1954, I moved to Florida. The Sunshine State truly turned out to be the land of the greatest opportunity for me. I managed the Starlight Motel in Cocoa Beach near Cape Canaveral. I made a lifelong friendship with all of the astronauts who stayed there over the years. The hotel business was good to me as I went from manager to owner. This was about the time a man named Walt Disney came to the Central Florida looking to develop Walt Disney buildings, hotels, and supporting the booming resort area, proven incredibly lucrative. Yet, when I was making more money than I could ever imagine, I knew that all the hotels and all the money in the world could not make me happy. When I discovered a wonderful passion, the passion of giving, first I started a foundation with some of the astronauts, the Mercury 7 Foundation. Is now called the Astronaut Scholarship Fund. Since the beginning, It has provided scholarships for science students. Next, I founded the Fanny Lanwit Foundation in honor of my dear mother. The foundation has built a school for senior citizen center in Orlando and continues to fund many other charities around the world. Then in 1986, I heard about a little girl named Amy who had who had terminal cancer. Her family had been planning a trip to Disney to make Amy's final wishes come true. She wanted to meet Mickey Mouse. I heard from one of my hotel managers that Amy's family canceled the trip because she died before they could make it happen. This absolutely broke my heart. Now, how could this happen? This is such a great country. How could a dying child wish not be granted? I vowed this would never happen again. What was the beginning of Give Kids Their Wish? GKTW. Today, GKTW is a village in Kissimmee, Florida, right next to Orlando. My staff and I cut through all the red tape and practically overnight make a child dream of visiting Disney World and the theme park come true. The entire family is flown to Florida and put up at GKT's Windskill Village. The family received tickets to the attractions, meals, and rental car at no cost to them. We are able to make all this possible thanks to the great relationship I have developed through my hotel company with Florida vendors. Over the years, the theme park are happy to make the GKW because they know their free tickets are going to deserving families. GKTW has hosted more than 75,000 families from all 50 states and more than 50 countries. I simply love hosting these children. I see myself in them, and I understand what they are going through. They face disease, and I faced the Nazis. They feel like they have no control over their lives, just like I had no control over mine. We are survivors and fighters with a will to live. I give such joy knowing I can do something about making their wish come through. I have done incredible things with my life after surviving the Holocaust. I came to America where I made my future. I have three beloved children. I have given away a lot of money. But the most important thing I did for myself was to let go of the hate. Hallelujah. There are no words for how much hate the Germans, how much I hate the Germans after the war. And I thank everyone. I think everyone would say I had good reason. But I gradually made an observation. Despite them hating them and going and doing evil to them simply made me like they were. Sure did. The last thing I wanted to be was them. It's terrible to live with hate. Hate hurts. There is no value for the person who holds on to hate. It is possible enough to make some effort of hating. It is possible, though, to take that same effort of hating and turn it into love and caring. That's how I found my way to happy and fulfilling life. I know it's hard for some people to understand. My own sister has never forgave the Nazi for all that they did to our family. But for me, I have had a much better life by spending my time giving. GKTW presents an opportunity for many others to give as well. The village operates thanks to the roster of 5,000 volunteers. Many of them are senior citizens who never want to leave the village. They find, like me, that by giving each day is a miracle. To learn more about this, givekidstheworld.com and hatehurts.com. And here is Darian's takeaway from this story. Henry Langworth seems remarkable because he gave up hate, the very people who destroyed his family. Now, how would any human forgive such terrible acts? Yet, if you really read carefully, you will realize that Henry seems giving up hate as a gift to himself, not to those who harmed him and his family. By giving up hate, he freed himself to love. Just look at the joy he experienced creating amazing children memories for the kids who come to his village. I don't imagine he would have the capacity to experience such joy if he were assumed by hate. It's a great lesson. How much of your day do you spend harboring bad feelings for someone who has harmed you? Whom are you really hurting with those feelings? What do you lose if you let them go? What joy awaits you if you just release them? Yes, yes, yes. Remember, you can call in 646-915-8166 and share with us what are some of the things that you are doing to make a difference. And this second segment and episode is brought to you by Marquee Global Coaching and Professional Development.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Husson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
Yes, and I want to introduce you to the platform for the Vision Weekend Conference. We have for our keynote speakers, speakers speaking 2 days, Mr. Simon T. Bailey, and he is the founder of the Brilliance Institute. Then we have Miss Crystal Washington. We have, she is a marketing specialist and media strategist. We have Miss Jan Mullock, who is a positive master of positive achievement. We have Mr. Brian Ridgway, who is an SEO expert. We have Dr. CJ Cohn, who is the founder of the building Dominating Your Destiny. And then we have Mr. William Cohn, who is the president of Dominating Your Destiny. We have Mr. Brian Ridgway, who is a transformational teacher and coach. We have Mr. Leon Ellis, who is a restaurateur, entrepreneur, and motivational. We have Mr. Stephen Jackson, who is the general manager of RDZ Media. Then we have Ms. Yolanda Webb, who is the CEO of Elan Cosmetics and editor and chief of the Elan Couture magazine. Then we have Mr. Sam Orme, who is the CEO of and founder of One Voice Worldwide. Then we have Mr. Willie Crawford. Mr. Crawford is a joint venture guru and a marketing specialist. He is also a millionaire. But attorney Ariella Mitchell Durant, who is a copyright and intellectual capital attorney. Then we have Mr. James Nemley, who is the CEO and founder of the Better Business Builders. Then we have Ms. Chandel Pitts, who is the owner of Black Cat Design, and she is a design consultant. Mrs. Jennifer Sertle, who is an author and strategic expert. Mr. Edward Foxworth III is and personal development strategist. Then we have Mr. Kobe Huberman, who is the founder of Strategic Landscape. Listen, guys, the date is March the 23rd through the 22nd. So, 23rd through the 26th, excuse me. So we pray that you go there, visit the website, www.DaphneClarkHudson.com. So go there and grab your tickets now. You don't want to miss. And the neat thing about this, we have an affiliate program in place where you can work some extra money there to help you, your conference attendees. And we are just going to be having a wonderful time. You do not have to go to breakout rooms because all the presenters will be presenting to the general population. So we'll see you there on March the 23rd through the 26th at the prestigious Broadway Millennium Hotel, located at 145 West 44th Street, slap bam in Times Square, New York. So pick up your registration now. We look forward to serving you there on March the 22nd through the 23rd, March the 23rd through the 26th. Now, the next story says, cartridge for a cure. Ellie Kahn is child cancer survivor and teen recycler. The biggest obstacle of my life started before I can even remember. I was diagnosed with leukemia when I was 2.5. Now, not only did I beat the potential deadly disease, I came up with a creative way to give back to the doctors who saved my life and to help the environment at the same time. I'm 16 years old, and I am here to tell you that kids can make a difference. Yes, you're right, son. My life has been different in many ways since I was a baby and diagnosed with leukemia. If you don't know leukemia, cancer of the bone marrow and blood, basically there's an uncontrollable accumulation and of and damage of the white blood cells in your body. Anemia and lack of disease fighting white blood cells leave you wide open for various infections. Anybody can tell leukemia at any time, and doctors don't know what causes it. All they know is that it kills you. But doctors told my parents that if my treatment was expected, I had more than 80% chance of survival. My doctors at Johns Hopkins Hospital in Baltimore were the best. My pediatrician sent us there over Christmas break in 1993, and I had a strange fever that would not go away. Of course, I was too young to remember such, but my parents tell me the situation was very serious. I immediately underwent chemotherapy. When I had to spend every other weekend for 6 months in Johns Hopkins Hospital Children's Center, followed by another 2 years of outpatient chemotherapy, which included having blood drawn through the infuser port implanted in my chest. 10 years later, I am cancer-free, hallelujah, and considered to be in the 100% remission. Yeah. A complete recovery from leukemia is amazing, but my story doesn't stop there. It really started when I turned 12 and was studying for my bar mitzvah. Part of the preparation meant I had to complete a community service project. Since my cancer treatment and recovery were such a big part of my life, I wanted to do something to help Johns Hopkins Hospital. I felt the need to give back to those people who literally gave me back my life. But what could a kid do to help out a cancer center? I went online and found that one of the simplest money-making ideas out there was recycling printer cartridge. Sounds simple, right? It was still and still is. But the result came amazing. Everyone, including me, at first, only family and friends, knew about my project, but as it grew, I set up a website with instructions and form for people to fill out and mail information in postage-free supply. The website notifies me that someone needs some mailing supplies. I notify the recycling company, and it sends the mailing supplies directly to the customer, who then package the used cartridges and return them to the company for recycling. I don't handle the cartridge except for the few that people drop by my house. I make about $1 a cartridge, and the cartridge-based recycle company sends me a check each time it receives submission of cartridges. Things started out slowly. At first, I was receiving checks for $15 or $20 each month. My original goal had been to raise $1,800. In Judaism, 18 is considered a lucky number. As I thought that 1800 is contribution would be a good target to shoot for, but at $15 and $20 a month, it would take forever. I thought there had to be a better way. I did more research and discovered the company I was working with was just a middleman. It was taking a huge cut of basically doing nothing. I learned I could become a rep for the main company and keep the much larger piece of the action. So that's what I did. All things took off from there. The program, monthly income, immediately jumpstart to $500 to $1,000 a month. I couldn't believe it. Apparently, other people were amazed as well, because I learned getting some media coverage that could even be more business. I sent all the money to Johns Hopkins, making the hospital very happy. A lot of leukemia research is done to that of humans. I started getting some ideas about media coverage. That brought even more business. I sent all the money to Johns Hopkins making the hospital very happy. A lot of leukemia research is done on zebra fish because their bone marrow and body cell production is similar to humans. The money I raised is used to buy fish tanks and other fish and whatever they may need. As it turned out, the doctor that treated me is one of the leading researchers in the nation. This has all grown away, way past my original bar mitzvah service project. As a result of the exposure, I was nominated to Land's End Born Heroes Award. Out of thousands of enchants, I made it to the final three and was awarded $5,000, which I turned over to the folks at the Johns Hopkins Hospital. When I was notified of the Volvo for Life Award donated that $50,000 as well. So far, I have sent the hospital more than $85,000. And all this works with hardly any effort on my part. Honestly, I am just a normal high school kid who plays water polo and golf, likes music, and hang out with my friends. Sometimes, if I'd like to be a sports agent, I'm a normal as I can be, but I set up someday. I like to be a sports agent. I am as normal as can be, but I set up this simple system that just churns out money for a great cause. My whole family is involved too. My sister has started a campus-wide recycling project at Syracuse University and has done fundraisers for the Johns Hopkins Hospital. My parents have served on several of the hospital boards and communities. I am amazed at how much good can come from a simple action. This, like setting up the recycling outfit for the Bar Mitzvah project. I am often asked how I suggest other young people raise money for charity. I always suggest that they find something that is easy to do and charity, money for charity. I always suggest that they find something that easy to do that they feel personally connected to. It might be starving children. They are on TV, homeless shelters they are about, or an animal rescuing center. You don't have to be an organization to do something good for an organization, of course. Just get started. Find something that excites you and get you ready. I had no idea how hungry the world is for people who take in action. And when you do, amazing things start to happen. Try to see for yourself. I am still young, and thanks to the doctors at Johns Hopkins Hospital, I have a lot of living to do. But the experience, I changed everything for me and will shape me and many others for years to come. And his support, to support him, he is at CartridgesForCure.com. CartridgesForCure.com. Now, the next story we will share is the story of Marie Hessler, the Million Dollar Resale Shop. I get greeted to many make a million with the expressed purpose of giving most of it away. I know, because I am on one in a group of ladies from Stillwater, Oklahoma, who did just that. Even though at the beginning we knew very little about money, this is a story of what you can do when you decide you can. In the fall of 2001, we were a group of 30 women ringing in the year for the middle 30s. In the fall of 2001, we were a group of 30 women ranging in ages from 30 to mid 80s, with a passion to make an impact out of our town of 40,000 people. We decided to open our own resale shop. That might not have sounded like the best idea of the time, since Stillwater already had 4 resale shops. But none were like the ones we envisioned. We wanted it to be unique and carry beautiful items. We wanted it to be clean, safe. We wanted it to be clean, safe, spacious, and bright. We decided to call it Elite Repeat. That's all we had about the beginning, the idea, the impression, and the agreement on none of us would be paid a single cent. Yes, we all agreed to be volunteers and give all our profits away. Our original group, all walks of life, nurses, teachers, homemakers, dental assistants, farmers' wives, and diversity serves us well because the one person might be good at appraising antiques, the other at designing and display. I laugh how, because we the only things we didn't have at the beginning was someone who bought, who thought she was good with money. You would think that would be important in running a shop, but we didn't care because we thought we could do it without anything. I agreed to be the bookkeeper only because no one else wanted the job. I knew nothing about bookkeeping, but we just proceeded as if everything would work out. As a group, we decided our money would go to the two charities, Habitat for Humanity and the Local Community Action Agency, which provides services for the homeless and medical and clinic for the poor. Our research showed that both organizations had good structure and goals, but were short on cash. That's where we came in. I smile when I think back to my first visit to the local Habitat for Humanity board. When I told them we were opening this shop and wanted them to be on our primary, wanted them to be one of our primary beneficiaries, they looked at me as if to say, well, that's nice, as if we were some cute old ladies who were having a bake sale. Let's just say they didn't look at this anymore. Even though they didn't expect much money from us, the Habitat for Humanity folks helped us fix our first down store location. We thought we bought the supplies and they did the painting and construction. Of course, one of those Habitat volunteer was a retired accountant. He became our accountant and business manager, and he has been a true gift. I was more than happy to turn over the 2 pages of ledger work I had done up to that point. Of course, we needed something to sell. Some of us turned out local garage sales. If we still If we liked what we saw, we would leave behind a flyer saying we would love to have their leftovers. We wouldn't have to do any more for long. News about our shop spread quickly by word of mouth. Now folks say, take it down to Elite Repeat. They know to take good care things. And the money we raise stay in Stillwater and surrounding communities. Speaking of money, we needed a little seed money to get started for those things like printing, painting, clothes rack, and other supplies. Two of us put in a local $10,000. Every cent was paid back to us, within 3 months. It was evident that the store was going to be a success from the first beginning. The rent for our first store was $1,300 a month. Over every first day, we made $1,760, which of course covers our rent and then some. We just kept going from there. We have now given Habitat for Humanity more than $200,000. We were funded to building up one of their houses currently by ourselves. They call it the Elite Repeat House. The Habitat folks helped out again when it was time to move. Yes, this shop started by a group of ladies who knew nothing about running a store or a nonprofit organization, has now doubled in size. We move across the street to a storefront with 7,000 square feet. Our volunteers list has now members of 65. How do you attract and motivate volunteers who work at the store, sit on all your local boards, and we listen to their input on how best to run the shop? There have been challenges as we figure out how to do this. Some people had to become the managers. Five of us each took a day and made decisions that day. That plan worked out well until one of the managers moved away. One started having grandbabies and began caring for them. And one manager husband retired and wanted her home more with him. We just let the process evolve. Now we have coordinators who can open, close, and collect money. Our shop has made over $1 million, and we are giving away $700,000. The rest of the money goes for things like rent, supplies, utilities, snacks, coffee breaks, and fellowship are important to us. We have done so well that we added a third charity recipient, Domestic Violence Services. even with the extra recipient. However, we found ourselves at the end in 2006 with an extra $30,000. So we gave it to Stillwater YMCA and three other charities. You might think we would have problems with the four other resale stores in Stillwater, but it's never been said that we took away anything else, because it's more likely we created business where there was none. We garnered goodwill by sending customers to other shops if they were looking for something we didn't have. Of course, our message to others is that we can be successful in Stillwater, Oklahoma, a town of 40,000, with four other resale shops. Then anyone can. We didn't have a business plan, any of the belief plan, and believe that we can do this, and everything we needed would show up. We never thought about what was going to stop us. We only thought about all the help that keeps showing up, like our business manager, the volunteers, the Habitat for Humanity, and the paying customers and donors who came every day. And they do keep coming, with an average of 90 paying customers daily. We now generate $19,000 of sale per month, which enables us to give $15,000 every month. It's clear that Elite Repeat is taking a life of its own and will be benefiting Stillwater long after all of us are gone. You can visit them for more information at EliteRepeat.org. Darian says, the women who created Elite Repeat Shop might have started with what looked like the smartest business plan, but they had something that I think was just as important, a belief. They began with a simple belief, and that they would succeed, and they succeeded. They also had a clear vision of what they wanted to create, and they did it. I know that creating a belief plan was some of the best advices I received as I was launching my own business. Write down the answer to these simple questions. Why are you in business? What values are important to you? What are your non-negotiable values? What your work, your time, and the impact on your family? Your answers will help you create a template for your business, whether you're the boss or the employee or the volunteer. With intention, it will be much easier to decide which would you work on. Next week we have a guest, and then if we do not have two guests, then we are going to continue, and we are going to continue with these stories. But I think we have two guests for next week. So again, I thank you guys for listening, and I will see you tomorrow night for those of you who have the time to join us at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, when I will be broadcasting simultaneously with Mr. James Nemley over at Building Your Extraordinary Business. Remember, as always, follow your destiny. Remember, you were created to make a difference. Love you guys. Stay blessed, and I see you tomorrow.
Breaking of day, it's death.